How's that for a football game, Jake?
How?
My grandpa called me. He was like, oh, how about that one?
How does the NFL keep getting away with it? Thursday Night Football is an affront to humanity. It's a cash grab. It's barbaric. And it should never, ever, ever go away because it can produce entertainment. Let's just call it. We create content that was entertainment of the highest caliber. Wow.
Yeah. First of all, just really didn't think the 49ers would have a chance. And I should have known better because, I mean, and you sort of were like, what about the Thursday night football of it all? And I went, yeah, but the Niners are cooked. And it's the rare game where Kyle Shanahan was probably pretty happy that they let him get the ball first because it let the 49ers set the tone, which is not running the fucking ball.
They still can't do that.
They still can't run the ball. I think Josh Dubow put out a stat that they're like the first team in NFL history to not have a rushing touchdown or an interception on defense. They also, I don't think, have rushed for 100 yards in a single game, but it doesn't matter because they're just ripping it. I mean, Kyle was locked in, and on that, and those first two drives, you put two touchdowns on the board, but you're just keeping Stafford off the field. Yeah. And to me, that's the way like you had to do it, was keep that offense sort of like desperate to put up points and keep them out of a groove. And they did that. And so it's like you get to the second half and whatever happens, happens. And my God, did stuff happen.
33 carries, 74 yards. Not great. Not great. But I think that's an awesome point. We'll get to studs and duds here in a second. We'll get to comments even after that. If anyone wants to join us tonight. I don't know how you can sleep after a game like that. I know I'm sure it's all not going to bed anytime soon. I mean, Stafford found it. But as a fellow 37-year-old man, I can tell you it's all about routine. And you don't like getting knocked off your schedule. And
he missed some bad throws.
He did, which I told you would happen when he got pressured. He didn't really get pressured tonight, but, you know, he probably feels pressure a little bit more acutely than others, given his back situation. And he can spray it around there still. He can also drop some absolute fucking dimes, which he also did. But, you know, Stafford really got going in that game. But keeping him off, I think it's just an awesome point. Keeping him off the field early in that game, he wasn't able to find a rhythm. He wasn't able to get into a groove. It was real danger zone once he did. But luckily, the Rams were keen to drop the ball left and right, to fumble, to make special teams errors. It was like watching the Niners tonight. And once he found Marquise Siegel, poor Marquise Siegel, who had such great coverage on so many plays and can't catch a break, and then ultimately didn't have some great coverage there.
Marquise, it's like, Siegel's, here's the thing. It's like if they say we're going to target you and you alone every single play, you're probably going to have some bad plays, which is not to excuse. There was one late in the game. I mean, he did come in with a hit at the end to make William short. And I did look again. I'm not just covering for the guy. I really do think his coverage has been mostly very good. He's just needs to learn how to play through the ball better. I'm not really that worried about him. You know, like I think
they're not worried.
Right place. He's making good tackles. It's just
he got burned by Tutu Atwell pretty good. Though that's easy.
That was the worst play. He got beat by him twice. One was he was close, and I'm okay calling him a dud, but I'm also not worried about him long term. And I still think the guy to sit is Pinnock, who I believe you pointed out was responsible for that first touchdown.
The Kyron Williams touchdown, where Davante Adams is on the right side, he runs his route. They blitz two, Winters and Pinnock off the right. At some point, somebody has to recognize that the running back is going to the flat. The flat is vacated. I should go with the running back. Easier said than done, but it wasn't even attempted. So Pinnock thought
Fred's
he had a
face
shot.
Said it all.
Yeah,
Fred was exasperated.
That's the veteran. That's the guy who's not supposed to do dumb stuff like that. You could say, "Oh, Winters should do that." No, he shouldn't. He's blitzing through the B gap. Outside gap, outside responsibilities. So it was Pinnock once a game at minimum makes an overtly bad play that then burns the 49ers. Now, I he had some positive moments in this game, just like Siegel had some positive moments, if not the most positive moment, amid some tough looks. But ultimately, like, this game was great, great football game. Two offenses really humming.
Sick.
It is absolute dereliction of duty to be 5 minutes and now 25 seconds into this stream without singing the praises of one McCorkle Jones. My goodness.
You're in a two-faced suit.
Out here looking like Tommy Lee Jones and Batman Forever.
Looking like a pimp that you laugh at and everybody says, don't laugh at him.
Gata, don't play that. Mac Jones, 33 of 49, 342 yards, no interceptions, though he got away with one late. Two touchdowns. Very nice.
He gets away with him.
Everyone does.
49 attempts.
49 attempts. Listen, there's a mind meld between Kyle and Mac that cannot be denied. Cannot be denied.
They're disgusting brothers.
There is something truly special about those two. Mac is incapable of doing all the cool stuff that we like to see quarterbacks do. He is only capable of executing Kyle Shanahan's offense to an absolute T. And
he's doing it.
There are limitations to that, unquestionably. And those might get bumped up against here in the not too distant future. But this is the best backup quarterback in the NFL. I don't even think it's a debate right now. They have won three games and three tries under his leadership at the position. The ball moves. He's the perfect point guard. And listen, you can say whatever you want this week about Mac versus Brock. Do whatever you want. Mac deserves anything you can throw his way after that, because this man was on the sideline throwing up. Looked like he was throwing up.
What the fuck? Real quick. We'll get into the broadcast in a bit, but the slow zoom push in to Mac going like driving, and they just
ironically, my 8-month-old daughter threw up at the exact same time. So that awesome. was a fun
She's
thing,
playing quarterback next week.
She also has the same body consistency as a Mac Jones, just very doughy. rips it down the field though. The man is cramping up like a sumbitch. He's got that knee, he's lugging that knee brace around.
Some people were like speculating on Achilles. I'm like, I know what that calf cramp is, and that brace is digging into that. It's not feeling good.
He was in hell.
Those calf cramps are no joke.
He's over there having one time a trainer working on his calf, the massage gun, and all that stuff. He had another one rubbing his arm down. I was expecting someone to come in with a palm fawn and just start fanning him and feeding him bananas. He had the banana already. Like,
you know,
he deserved it with that game.
You ever see like old, like photos of like old quarterbacks, like a John Brody type?
Yes.
And you're like, this guy was 27 years old and he looks 42. Mac Jones has a little bit of that, you know?
Absolutely.
There's a little bit of that going on where you're like, this is a 57-year-old man.
Stand in the pocket. I love it. Deliver, get absolutely battered. I mean, that dude had grass stains on a field that was turf. Like, he was awesome. And is this sustainable? Hell no.
Yeah,
it does not matter.
Real quick on the super chat. Thanks. Yeah. CMC 30 touches. How long is that going to work? It's a great question.
As long as it does.
As long as it does is right. I think they're just going to keep pounding it.
What's the alternative? You can only give Kendrick Bourne so many targets.
Which is awesome, because Kendrick Bourne was like terrible in the first half, which will not be remembered, but he was.
He was legitimately awful. I had already written him as a dud. And then the second half starts and I'm like, I got to delete this. And that's how I usually like write my studs and duds column. Like, I write everything and then just delete, like Siegel had to delete it. That's fine. You performed well enough that you are neither a stud nor a dud. Vice versa sometimes, but he was awful, right? He had two plays back to back where he gets an illegal motion penalty followed by not knowing where to line up. So they have to burn a timeout. That's not good. He still doesn't know the plays. It does not seem to matter though, because he can still get open on a slant, and Mac Jones is looking for him on the first read, particularly in the second half when his body was incapable of turning far enough to get to his second read. He was the offensive engine. He was fantastic. And let's not forget they signed this dude off the street.
Yeah. Real questions to ask of the Rams' defensive game plan. There is a lot of, if we just, I think they just went, the 49ers don't have any weapons. Let's play soft coverage and let our defensive line go to work. I think that was their plan, but they didn't adjust, as that did not seem to work. Well, it kind of did, because Mac almost died about three different times. Colt McKivitz was looking pretty rough. We'll see how it goes for Colby. Well, Colby's yikes again. Yeah, again, as Keith says, still no rushing touchdowns. The fact that they have no rushing touchdowns and are 4-1 and 3-0 in the division, 3-0 in the division, and we're like, is this a good football team? I'm not sure.
Doesn't matter.
You know, I wrote off a little bit the idea that they are the 2022 Minnesota Vikings, and I might need to bring it back, because these boys are back in the dumpster diving for wins, just absolute loving it. Slop it up,
slop baby.
Mistakes.
4-1 is 4-1. Like, and let's be clear about this aspect. The 3-0 in the division is the biggest aspect of 4-1. They can play sub 500 football the remainder of the year and comfortably make the playoffs, is my estimation.
Yeah.
Like, they only need six more wins. It's October 2nd. Like, that's unbelievably large for a team that has this much nonsense happening. Now, you can also make the argument that they were 4-1 with all of this nonsense happening. What the hell happens when they have people returning to the roster? And I'll hear that argument too. This doesn't line up with logic, but you know what? A lot of times football doesn't, because it's grown men running as hard as they can to try to kill each other. Like, logic goes out the window a lot of times.
And I will say, there was almost a murder. Alfred Collins literally punched Kyron Williams
right in the head.
Right in the head.
A lot of face masks in this game. A lot of not called ones. Also, let's just do the announcer stuff now. And we're going to start with least egregious to most egregious. It's all pretty bad. Bill Vinovich, the referee, who is the referee?
Terry McCauley's the guy that they have on the call, where they asked him, and they were like, and he's like, it was the face mask thing. And it's like, Terry, it's any contact to the head's illegal.
Nailed it, buddy. Oh, I don't think he grabbed the face mask. It does not matter. He punched him in the face. Illegal. So, great job there, Terry. And then Kirk, not a sterling performance.
Whittingham, I believe.
Well, that's.
Oh no,
that's
he called him
McKivitz. Connor McKivitz.
He said Connor McKivitz.
And just constantly, incessantly kept bringing up where these guys played in college. And it's like, we get it.
We know.
We understand what you do for a living, and maybe we should stick to that. And then Al Michaels, it is Jover. I don't know who the vice president is, but they need to take over the ticket.
So let's go least, which is Whittingham, right? That's probably that. Yeah. Okay, that's fine. And then we had three that were like damning. There's
the inability to recognize why the ball was spotted at the 41 after a roughing the passer penalty. That was fun.
Yeah. That was like, I was like, okay, so he got it wrong. And then he kept getting it wrong, and he was trying to figure it out and didn't figure it out. And he went, oh, and then he explained it, and Kirk went, no, it's roughing the passer. So they added it, and he went, oh, half the distance. And you're like, no.
Al, maybe just take the next couple reps off. Anytime there was a fumble, no idea.
Holy shit. The key plays of the game, the Alfred Collins forced fumble, hadn't a clue. He said, oh, and maybe did the birds the ball. Did they get it?
Named it. It was like it was like the second coming of Do You Believe in Miracles? Yes, right.
The
there.
Last play of the game.
Just he's bumbling over it.
He's like, oh, and there's a fumble. And they think it's like, buddy, the fumble's irrelevant. He didn't get it. It doesn't matter who has the ball. They needed to get a first down or the game's over. They didn't get it. And Kyron, it wasn't even like it was close. He couldn't have been stopped more at the line of scrimmage.
So stuffed.
And he was like, so what's, oh, and the Niners are celebrating. Let's see. Both teams are on the field. It appears the game is over.
It brings down our broadcast trying to recreate his broadcast, which he's paid about $20 million a year to do. And I think,
and it's something where I tend to like hold off on just tearing in into commentators, because it can be a tough gig, especially like a legend. But Al, buddy,
Al, let's shut this thing down. Actually, you know what? It's not even Al. Al, if they're going to pay Al to phone it in, and he's been phoning it in all year, if they want to pay Al that kind of money to phone it in, literally, I mean, they do Zoom calls. They don't even meet with the coaches in person. Then they don't have enough time to keep taking it. He can't get on a plane for a Monday. They're going to be in the town. You can get one of them.
That's true.
Al lives in Los Angeles. He can't get to, what is it? Thousand Oaks, Sherman Oaks. I don't know where they are anymore.
It's one of the Oaks.
It's an oak. But if Amazon wants to keep paying this dude, like, you should take the money. You should take the money. It's on Amazon to be like, hey, this sucks.
And it's tough. It's tough because it's like the most incredible game. And the last play, I'm like, all I can think about is Al Michaels just completely botching it. Not even botching it, just not knowing what's happening.
I'm surprised Sam Schwartzman didn't come in.
He is. Oh, that guy. I didn't even mention him. I was losing my fucking mind, because you're watching this and you're like, oh, this is a cool. Ring. The shiver that sent down my spine. If anyone watched the StatCast
Prime, whatever, Vision is what they call
which
it,
which is mostly bullshit, not that helpful. No. But
the analytics community is torn on if you should get it first or second in overtime. The analytics communities are. Listen, we like analytics, but anyone who thinks that you want the ball first is a fucking moron.
Yeah, and so, there's an argument.
No, we're playing for the third possession. How'd that work?
Correct. It's you want the second possession.
You want to know what you need to do. There's
correct.
No.
Correct. Yes.
Stupid. They're torn on it.
But he comes in, you're like watching the game and you hear this horrific ring. And if in case you didn't watch it, and the reason you watch it is because it gives you an angle that you can actually see what's happening. Sometimes it gets a little too steep and it's weird.
And sometimes that's just the stadium aspect of it. Like, you can only get the steady cam so much. Anytime they'd hurry up, they'd have to go to the sideline cam, which was great.
Correct.
I like it. I wish that more, especially in this age of streaming where everyone has the ability to get 15 different feeds. Right. I wish that more companies were just giving you straight cam or sky cam feeds, because it really did make life easy. Like, I don't think that people who watched the regular broadcast quite understood how much Matt Stafford was trying to murder Marquise Siegel mentally.
People just like give takes and like give grades immediately after the game. I'm like, that's an insane thing to do. You don't know what happened. You can guess. Some stuff is clear.
That angle, though.
Right. Some stuff is clear. But like, if you're watching the regular broadcast, you don't really know, you know. But like that guy, Sam Schwartz, when he comes on, first of all, he clearly wasn't ready. When the game started, he was like marble mouth and it couldn't talk for a second and was panicked. And then they shut it down a little bit. And then the rest of the game, he's like, 49ers haven't used their 21 or 22 personnel nearly as much. They need to get Kyle Juszczyk back on the field. And you're like, shut up.
Thanks, Sam. I'll say a positive thing about Amazon, then we'll move on to the actual football game. Their halftime crew is really good. They're really good. And Richard Sherman's really, really good. So,
And he gets all like players he played with to like talk with him after the game for like 15 minutes.
Yeah. This is a good thought from Tony. That game was a lot less weird than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
There was nothing weird about that game. That was like, as Jake noted, that was some old school football. Guys should have been smoking cigarettes on the sideline. That was that old school.
It was like, sick.
Just tape it up, baby. Just tape it up. Where do we even go with this? Like,
it's a great question. Do you mean in the grand scheme of the 49ers season, or where we take the show?
Well, I'm cautious. I mean, my column's already out, so clearly this is not evidenced in my output. I'm hesitant in a way to be a prisoner of the moment and be like, wow, unbelievable. What a character, what a team.
Right.
Like, the sky is the limit. But it also, like, doesn't it feel that way? Like, if this team ever gets its shit together, isn't fair, because it's a lot of it just bad circumstance. But, like, if things start working in their favor, if stuff starts balancing out, like, doesn't that scream that there's really no limit to what they can do in an NFL that doesn't seem to have a truly dominant team?
Yeah. I mean, the upside to this team is, especially if, like, again, like, this is the worst you've seen of Marquis Siegel, who's like a sharp dude and figures it out. And Malik Mustafa comes back in the secondary. Maybe Upton Stout gets benched, but like Chase Lucas was like pretty good in the preseason. You'll maybe figure out the nickel spot. It's a problem. Yeah.
I think Brown still needs a role. Couldn't play him today.
He was great on special teams, made a really nice tackle.
I mean, this is kind of where I keep going to, because we talk about it so much. Like, it's all about 26, and it still is. But when you can win a game like this with a bunch of rookies,
with the Chiefs' wide receiving core and Kendrick Bourne,
the sent off version of the Chiefs' receiving core, the ones they didn't want anymore, no pun intended. Like, it is. Man, 26 feels really positive, because 25 feels so positive, and you can see, we know all the flaws. We see all the flaws, and yet they're still able to just go in and be smarter and tougher and more resilient than a team that I think a lot of smart people, and I don't think they were wrong, thought was the best in the NFL this year.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. That's
I know.
I don't mean that like flippantly. It is legitimately unbelievable. I thought that this game could Thursday night. I didn't think that this Niners team would control the fight so significantly against this Rams team, and that the Rams would be the team to beat themselves.
Totally. And I think McVay overthought it. And listen, I underestimated the fact that Kyle brings it. He brings it every time he plays Sean. Every single fucking time he's dialed in.
Yes, but I also saw a game where they kicked nothing but field goals.
Correct. But it's like, it's interesting that, and I think it's worth like a psychological analysis of Kyle as a person, that when he is undermanned, he gets more aggressive because he's got nothing to lose. And he says, we're going to go for it on 4th and 1 from our own 35 or whatever it is,
right?
Because we're just going to QB sneak this shit. It's going to work. And we need it, and we want to keep Stafford off the field, and the longer we keep him off the field, the better our chances are of us winning. And it is interesting that he gets, you know, and there's going to be a Brock and Purdy debate, and it's so fair, whatever, everything's fair game after
Brock
this.
And Mac, yeah. Yeah, have at it.
But to me, it's like almost the offense that they're running with Purdy and the slower developing stuff, like I almost think just keep it simpler, and like some of the stuff that they're running where it's just take the first read.
Right.
It's, I don't know,
kind of the Jimmy offense all over again.
Yeah.
Now I will say Jimmy ain't throwing a comeback route to DeMarcus Robinson the way Mac did.
I did see Jimmy at the end of the game saying hi to Mac, and that made me chuckle. Just seeing him on the Rams and whenever the 49ers play them. And I'm like, it's always just like a little surprise. You're like, there's Jimmy
Garoppolo. Yeah. Still getting paid to be a football
player.
What
an incredible life he lives.
Good for him. Nothing but a decent. I'll never say anything bad about Jimmy Garoppolo, the dude. Football player, plenty.
Very chill.
The dude, sweet dude. All time hang, I hear, in that, like, just sort of there. Nothing but good vibes.
He's just a Chicago. Again, he's a guy that I think was just like a handsome dude growing up. So they're like, you're the quarterback. And he's like, okay. And then,
cool.
You know, went to, Eastern Illinois. Jimmy Ward went to Northern.
That's right.
And so he goes there, and then the Patriots draft him, and he's like, they're like, hey, you're going to replace Tom Brady. And he's like, what? Me?
It's like the John Hamm character from 30 Rock, where they just keep giving him stuff because he's so handsome.
Yeah.
It's actually kind of adult, but he just keeps getting away with it. I want to do some studs and some duds. I know that we've already gone in a little bit here. Renardo Green, that's the game. That is the thing that I think that, looking back on the conversations that we had leading into this, we most underestimated or just straight up overlooked. when you don't have any sort of a pass rush, you need to have an excellent secondary. And having Renardo Green just blanketing either Puka or more frequently
mostly Adams, I think.
Adams.
And Stafford and Adams are not.
Well, they're running cover six, like ad nauseum. And it's just Renardo, you got that side of the field. You have the weak side. And
I think I'm with you. They're putting more on him for sure.
Unquestionably. And they better because D'Amador Lenore was a dud. He had three holding penalties in this
game. I agree.
Now, you almost had a game-winning pick for what it's worth. Wasn't his man, but he made a great play.
Yeah.
And he was a good tackler, save for the time that they ran for a touchdown right past him. But it was brutal. His aggression, they clearly were targeting it, even if they weren't getting receptions on him. And he did nothing to disprove that he's too handsy, too aggressive. And that was when he was in zone. It's like, what are we doing here? So Renardo Green as the breakout is huge because D'Amador Lenore is still a very good player. Had a very bad game by his standards, by anyone's standards. But Green being so steady, so excellent, so perplexing to a player, who, unquestionably great player in Davante Adams, that gave that defense a chance because the pass rusher as hell didn't.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's funny because like Stafford threw for 389 yards and you're like, the secondary was like pretty good for most of the game, right? Yeah,
like 300 of those came against Siegel, it seemed.
Yeah, and came late, right? Yeah. And chunk plays. And also that last drive, like it actually doesn't matter how much yardage you allow. Realistically, it should be college rules and you just start at the 35. But anyway, first of all, welcome, George. We will be getting to comments once we finish our studs and duds.
Yeah.
Obviously, Kendrick Bourne and Mac Jones, studs.
Studs.
Most obvious.
Christian McCaffrey was a stud. I think he's on pace for 1,300 receiving yards this year.
Yeah, he's... That's a... who's the old 49ers running back that was the first to...
Roger Craig.
Roger Craig. The old...
Yeah. Put him in the Hall of Fame, by the way.
He's not going to rush for 1,000 yards this year.
No, he isn't. If you gave him 40 games, he might get there. But not in the 17 allotted. I thought McCaffrey was still really good. There's something that happens a lot in the college game where they can't really run the ball, a lot of tight fronts.
Yeah.
And so what teams do, and Alabama, I think, does this better than anybody in the league right now or in college football right now, and DeBoer did this great with that Washington team that went to the national championship game, is they just get the screen game for running backs as an extension. So instead of, do you remember when Mike McDaniel's like, what if we pitched it?
Right. Straight back.
Straight back. Like, what if we just started pitching it in order to get more of a stretch? Because Jimmy
That question I asked him, I think, got him that Miami job.
Right. Amongst so many other things, but mainly Jake.
No, it was the question I asked.
It was the question you asked. Can you save his job with a question, or is that
maybe a bridge? Maybe you'll go down there.
So like stuff like that, where it's like, we need to get to the edge. We need to stretch it out. Like, what are ways that we can do that without just the classic drop back handoff? You can do it with a screen, just screen for him. And when you have, and this is a stud, DeMarcus Robinson out there actually blocking.
The blocking what made a concept. Difference. I was telling you.
100% a pro, someone who came from the Rams where you had to block. Now, maybe he left because he wasn't that good of a blocker. Also money. But like, yeah, this can work. So I'm not going to get bogged down moving forward. I know they can't run. We can see they can't run. The offensive line can barely move, much less move people.
But think about what they're doing with this receiving core when they will get Pearsall back. Jennings, I think, is still alive somewhere, maybe on ice. he might be in Matthew Stafford's hyperbaric chamber. Outside the
immortal
stadium.
Chamber,
yeah, he might be in that.
They're
but
getting,
like,
they're getting some love tonight after
Kittle's coming back week six. It sounds like so you're getting, and regardless of Ayuk, let's pretend Ayuk doesn't come back at all. You're going to have a receiving core that is Ricky Pearsall, Juwan Jennings, DeMarcus Robinson, Kendrick Bourne. It's a fucking good receiving core. That's
I'll take
like,
it.
That's a and that's a number
late,
one and
late game
and
substitute
a
Malik Turner. He'll be there too. They were playing Malik Turner on a critical drive in the fourth quarter. They won. How?
Also, we didn't talk about it much because Cardi blew it for the first time. with kickoff. But Sky Moore almost like bobbling that and turning it over on the first play of the game. No one really. Yeah,
I wrote the column about it, knowing it was going to happen. And the way he's like, there's no way to really prepare for it. You just like, luckily Niners media staff like pulled me out of there because I was like, oh boy, like this is not going to go well. And I wrote it effectively being like, this is not going to go well. It was awful. And then Isaac Garendo. Let's all wave bye to Isaac. It's done. It's Jover. Him and Al Michaels should just go hand in hand into the horizon. He has no role.
Yeah. Anymore. I think he should occasionally come in and run clear out routes where you don't throw him the ball. Just have him split out and run as fast as he can vertically.
He'd probably find a way to fuck that up.
I know.
He got bailed out by an early whistle. Full stop.
That was a fumble.
It was unquestionably a fumble. So
yeah.
That's over. Other duds, Colby and McKivitz. Yikes, Aroni. Colby was just a top, just spinning around.
Yeah, he's been getting cooked.
Yeah,
he's been getting cooked.
I mean, every game it gets worse.
What's Ben Barch's
rookie
status?
Seventh round guy. Yeah, go out there, give him whatever they give Mac Jones, three bananas. Give him the Mac Jones three bananas and get out there. I'm wondering what Spencer Burford's status is. I'm wondering what Drew Moss's status is. I'm wondering even what Matt Hennessy's status is. I can appreciate it's all about 26 and you want to give the kid the reps and see if he can fight through it, but like he can't. Either he's injured or really, really bad. I'm going to go with injured just to.
And you still see it like when he tries to get second level, there's some real pop in the run game.
Yeah.
But there's some like just anytime a team and teams are going to keep doing it and doing it and doing it every single time. It feels like they run a stunt where it's like Brendel, like if you run across where it's like coming at Brendel and Colby, they have no ability to hand it off.
No idea.
You're getting a pressure. Someone's getting home.
They might as well be yelling, not me. When that's not me. Oh shit. Who was that supposed to be? Bad. McKivitz had a tough game. Now let's be fair. The best defensive line in football. And Mac Jones got sacked once. Now he got hit like 40 flipping times.
He's also getting the ball very fast.
Second.
It was what second the one half, cool stat cast that was like, yeah, he's been getting it out 2.8 seconds, and since the injury, it's been like 2.4.
Yeah, he was. I mean, I'm not kidding. He couldn't turn his body to get to the other side of the field. So whichever way he was looking when he started, that was the way, because he couldn't turn around to do handoffs. I mean, that knee is in tough shape. I'm surprised he was able to walk to the locker room after the game, to the podium after the game. I mean, he's in it. I thought Jake Tonjes was fantastic in this game. I think.
Yeah. What is it? 11 targets, I think. 11 targets for Jake Tonjes.
None of this stuff is complicated, but I've seen it be botched.
Listen, so. if he adds a little bit of weight in the offseason, there's something there. Granted, that might take away all of his upside, but he's a player. He's way better to me than Ross Dwelly ever was.
Yes. And
Ross Dwelly was on this team for about 15 years.
That's right.
So Jake Tonjes just ain't going anywhere.
I just can buy in the Bay. He does not need to rent. There's no way they could replace someone of his caliber. Really steady hands. I mean, how nice is it to have a backup tight end who you're just like, yeah, if you throw it to him, he ain't going to get you that much, but like, he's going to catch it.
Yeah.
Like, what a concept. Who else was really good in this game? You know, B-Rob actually looked pretty good in this game early. I'm surprised they didn't use him more, but
one run where he actually was patient and read it out and
that left zone. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a nice play.
Yeah. I think both coordinators get a stud. All coordinators, because they got a field goal block. Maybe that's just Cardi kicking the ball he needs to get some elevation on that thing.
What happened to the sixth round pick out of Stanford? That was a bad game. Not only that, but for the first time, well, twice, actually, he messed up, not in the landing zone. One time he kicked a knuckleball straight into the end zone. That's a 35er.
Yeah.
And then the other time, he doesn't even come close to getting it in the landing zone. So, so much for that.
Yeah.
Coolest play in football. Kind of a problem for the Rams.
I'm with you. Any other studs and duds you want to add before we get to some comments here?
Let's do some studs. I thought Mykel was actually pretty damn good.
He was not on the field a ton. He was influential in that last play, too, where he created some displacement. Fred got in there, and then Siegel finished it.
I thought he was good. I thought Collins with the forced fumble was good and necessary, given that you couldn't play. You couldn't play Kalia Davis because of an injury. Yetur Gross-Matos was out because of an injury. So Collins, it was Collins or nothing. And they stopped running duo on them, which that tells you something, because that's the number one duo team in the NFL, and they were running duo anytime Elliott was in, anytime Collins was in. They stopped doing it against Collins.
CJ West had a few decent reps. I don't know that I would call him a stud at all.
No, I wouldn't go there. I thought Fred was great. I thought D Winters was actually pretty damn good. I know that they kept calling him up as like, oh, he's, you know, Kyren Williams is kind of killing him here. And it's like, kinda, but also not really. Like, there's throws to the flat. You're a linebacker. Like, maybe not. I don't think he graduated like stud level, but I thought Winters was good. And God, I can only imagine what it would have looked like had Winters not been in there.
No,
which seemed realistic.
They don't even play Luke Gifford at linebacker anymore. Every time he's out there, he's just a defensive end. That's genuinely the only way they're using him. And when they want a Sam linebacker, it's Jair Brown, which is very funny that that's how that operates.
What else? You know, let's give Chase Lucas a stud. Comes in, performed.
You got a penalty.
Oh, I don't remember that. Well, yes, but also they kept that one. That one was a little wonkier. The Lenore one was way more egregious. Either way, it was a first down. So you're right. Yeah. They had two flags on the play. But listen, he was a big part of the big play that won the game. They threw him in there cold. Like,
agreed.
When would you say that they – I don't know. Stout did come off the field
late
earlier.
Third, I want to say. Maybe in the fourth.
That's my recollection. I don't know if Stout got benched or if he was injured or if he was a little bit of both.
He got benched.
Felt like he got benched. But he also, he also missed a rep, I think, just one early because he came off the field. So
yeah, I think he got benched.
I wouldn't be shocked. I think they'll go back to Stout just because they're kind of pocket.
I think you
now.
Should. That's where the upside, keep the confidence. I mean, he's like close on a lot of stuff and then he gets cooked, but you're able to survive it. There will become a point where it won't be worth it, but this early in the year and with, you know,
he gets into Thanksgiving.
Agreed. All right.
Question.
Let's get to some comments. Number one, Titus. Thank you. Is there urgency now to trade for a defensive end or not yet? It's funny because it's something that I thought would wait until the trade deadline. Given the time that they have right now,
this week
with a week and a half, it actually does kind of make sense if you're going to pull the trigger to do it now. Now, the question is, you're 4-1. You're like this mess of a team that's barely holding on. Is it worth it to double down? I think you need to get someone. The question is, what's the price point? And I really don't know the answer that they'd be comfortable with. And like people keep mentioning,
you know what? I can answer the question of what they're comfortable with. Just a little bit more than what they used to get Jordan Jefferson, who they used for 9 snaps and then cut.
Who they need back now.
Yeah. Which he's probably well. He's probably just at the Marriott.
I know. But like, he got waves. Yeah. I guess no.
They waved him today. So that Adrian Martinez, because heaven forbid you take one of your massively injured roster of players and IR.
Could have put Robert Beal on IR. Like, you know.
You already cut him once. Just IR him.
I know.
Sometimes they do confounding things. You know, and they'll probably IR him on Tuesday now.
Right. And then it gets like, well, we needed to do this because it set up this. And we said,
you just didn't think that hard about it. That's the answer.
They thought too hard about it. That's the thing.
Well, sometimes those two things. What's that bell curve?
We're always the crying guy
right in the middle, and they're just on both ends of cut. It was cut Jordan Jefferson on both ends.
Yeah.
Middle. We're like, put someone on IR and say,
Cowchip, do we have a quarterback who can physically play next week?
His name is Adrian Martinez.
No, I think it's going to be McCorkle.
It'll be McCorkle.
It'll be McCorkle, and I think it's interesting that they're basically ruling Brock out already for that game. The way Ian Rappaport came with it at the end of the game was sort of like, Brock's not playing. He aggravated it, which...
No shit.
Turf toe, like maybe like an injury that like is notoriously like lingering.
Maybe
we like don't rush him into action early. I think what they do is they ride it out with Mac until he loses.
That's right. And then you lop off Brock's toe. I mean, I have like a minor turf toe injury right now. I got to tell you, Brock, toughen up. You'll be fine. I was able to ride my bike all the way to the Warriors and back today. So how would you?
Yeah.
I know. They got to ride with Mac for as long as they can. That has everything to do with the injury, nothing to do with, you know, quarterback controversy or whatever. And by the way, again, I encourage the conversation. It's totally germane to nothing realistic. But if you want to talk about, oh, did they screw up with Brock this and that? Like, sure. Knock yourself out. It's just I find the phrasing around it to be interesting. I had somebody on Twitter be like, when does it start to get uncomfortable with this Brock and Mac situation? It's like they're winning. What's there to be uncomfortable
about? Right.
Like as long as they win, who gives a shit?
Also, does anyone remember this team has done at quarterback for the last like half decade? Remember when like Jimmy Garoppolo, we were not allowed to talk to him. He was on a side field.
That was great. He kept trying to trade him,
but he was too injured and no one wanted him. His contract was too weird. And so they went, we both hate each other, but let's sign up for like an incentive based deal. And then we're going to use the quarterback we drafted like a fullback.
Yep.
He gets injured, never to play again. Jimmy, you're our guy. You get it. Remember that season and like
I remember what preceded it as well, where Kyle punted an entire year so that he could sign Kirk Cousins in free agency at the end of it, only around Halloween to be offered Jimmy Garoppolo for a second round pick, and then he had to go like, shit, I guess I have to do that, saving us from more CJ Beathard, though he did then start Beathard the next week in the rain at home against Seattle. He gets injured. They have to play Garoppolo. He scores a touchdown. They go 5-0 to end the season. All these things.
CJ Beathard, by the way, who number one trait that Kyle praised was
toughness.
Toughness, yeah. Which
he was
when you hear him talk about Mac Jones and like anything with toughness, there is an element of, I think Brock's like, I have to prove to Kyle I can play through this.
Yeah, so I said after the last game, it has to be a thing. And then Brock also proving that, you know, he's the leader, he's the man. I just think that it's all politics and it's all just empty calorie yapping, because the better quarterback will be the quarterback.
Correct. Right?
And ultimately, Brock's going to get the right of first refusal because he's being paid a lot. But, like, why wouldn't he? He was also here first. He also had dibs. So, like, the idea that the backup, like, oh, there's a problem. Would you prefer it? Anyone out there who thinks that this is a bit tricky and oh, I don't know if I like this. Would you prefer what they did last year where they had two backups, neither which could win you a fucking game? Because Brock never felt any pressure with that. There was no quarterback controversies there. The only controversy was why we had to watch those games when anyone other than Brock was at quarterback.
Yeah.
So it is... You and I have talked about this ad nauseum, like why teams don't value backup quarterback, be that with draft picks, be that with free agency money, be that with trading for guys, like why they allow themselves to have seasons ruined because one position gets injured is ludicrous. And they say it's because of politics. That's weak. That's just weak.
Yeah, and that's what the 49ers did last year. But they, like, invested in Sam Darnold, and then last year they're like, all right, well, shit. We invested in every other position. We can't afford a backup. Didn't end up
Let's get really two shitty ones. Like
mattering.
Take their money and make one halfway decent one. Just a thought. Or draft somebody.
No. Let's get to a few more. V blank. The Rams linebackers are horrendous in coverage, even by linebacker standards. Yeah, Kyle, what do you know? Kyle Shanahan looking at linebackers through a sniper scope saying, "I'm going to ruin your life."
You want to know why you got Jake Landman for a song? I'm about to show you why.
Is that his first name? That's a guess. Landman. They also, Al Michaels also did pronounce his name at one point like Landman or something.
Landman. Yeah. Al was totally with us. Totally.
Banali, the Rams defense might have been slightly overrated. I think that's fair. I think their secondary is solid. I think their linebackers are meh. I think their front's insane.
Yeah, I don't think that we saw them for anything that they weren't.
We thought their front would tee off a little bit more.
Yeah, and I'm going to give the credit to the Niners' offensive line. Now, the tape will show.
Getting the ball out quick.
No question. I think the tape is going to show that they were just wildly holding on almost every play. Like, you know, when you would keep your eye on the line, you're like, wow, they are just choke-holding dudes. But Legion of Boom, if you can get away with it, don't stop. And by the way, you know, the Rams' offensive line could have done the same thing.
Maybe they've learned from Bosa getting held that you can just keep doing it because they're only going to call so many holding penalties.
That's right. Amazon paid a lot of money to Al Michaels to show up to this game, and they're not going to have it ruined and besmirched by flags.
Yeah,
that's bad business. How are we supposed to get people Prime memberships if we got to watch this shit? So,
Speaking of which, Dion and Cash says basically the graphics last week were so bad that they didn't even try it this week. It's so funny because they do some cool stuff and then you're like, is this a school project?
Oh, the circles. Just stop with the fucking circles.
Yeah, like, you're circling every player. What are we doing?
They treat the Prime Vision, StatCast, whatever you want to call it, feed as if it's like, we're going to teach you football. And it's like, no one's clicking on this unless they already know football. No one is looking at this being like, ooh, interesting. Maybe I'll learn something. No, it's for deeply sick fucks who want to watch all 22 live and honestly don't even need the announcer. Just give us the stadium PA.
I wish they didn't have the announcer because every time he popped up with his horrible bring phone call, he's like, the 49ers really like out routes down here. They're going to run out routes.
Meanwhile, I'm just taking this pocket knife and stabbing myself in the leg.
It was awful.
There's 42 fucking circles on the screen. Like it's a PowerPoint presentation in 1998.
Oh, like it's a Prezi.
Yeah. Oh, it's just unbelievable. It's just, you know, Mac Jones is throwing, you know.
I know. It's tough. I'm sure he's doing some prep behind the scenes, but he was a tough
I don't know look. If you guys know this. There are three lines on the field because we're using stats to tell you how often they make it.
It's terrible. It's really bad.
It's so close. That's the problem. It could be fixed. I don't know who's in charge of the old football operation over at Amazon, but they have been asleep at the wheel for the last calendar year.
They have been. Nevin says it's silly and superstitious, but we have to pick against the Niners every game now.
It's not that hard.
I think Banali said she bet on the Niners as soon as we both said that they were going to get blown out, which is probably what I would do. And it's rare that I'm that clear in a proclamation, but I really did think that they would just get demolished. Let's be clear. This was fucking insane that they pulled this off. It's not like a predictable result. I don't think anyone's pretending it was, but
no,
good Lord.
I didn't talk to anybody who didn't think that the Rams weren't just going to boat race them. And these are people who, you know, spend even more time on the tape than us. These are people whose opinions I really value. Like, they're like, this could be really rough. And the 49ers, through the power of friendship and toughness, found a way.
It was
Unbe-fucking-leavable. I'll say this. You know, 49ers fans are killing Kyle for doing the same logical thing of running the ball on your own 1 yard line, forcing the other team to take your three timeouts. Lest we forget that the last time Mac Jones started, he got sacked in the end zone.
Like, yeah, and then you're just like, we're going to die, so let it be a safer death and let our defense force a field goal.
If throwing it in first, you can't throw it on third down. Oh, well, you need to throw it once. No, you don't. Like, yeah, would it? If it works, that's a great play.
I think if you give the Rams a timeout, they might score a touchdown there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a very fair expectation.
Especially with Cardi getting blocked, they're going to be hyper-aggressive.
Shit, they almost scored one. They had a minute seven left. They were on the three. So, yeah. Yeah, the old Duke boys got away with another one here. But the idea that... The idea that it was a bad play call to run Kyren Williams to the right side on a fourth and one with the game on the line, I just don't agree with it because they were gashing the Niners in the run game.
I would have maybe run it away from Michael's side.
That's fair. That's probably the error. But running it, like I did hear the great Josh Pate, who does a great college football podcast, said this the other day, and I don't know if I agree with it, but I did think it was an interesting line where it's like, I won't argue with play calls and I won't argue with plays themselves, but I will argue with philosophy.
Yeah.
And like, I have no problem whatsoever with the philosophy given of running the ball there, given that they had been running the ball with impunity up until that point. And also, there's some politics there of like, let's make sure that Kyren still knows we trust him, even though they really probably shouldn't. What else?
Yeah. What else we got? George says, who else believes that Moody would have lost us this game had he still been on the team?
Probably.
Very probable.
Dinero Eddie Pinheiro was out there kicking a 59 yarder with ease, but you know.
That's what I love about Kyle with like nothing to lose, where he's like, Eddie Pinheiro's range is 54 yards, 59. I don't care. I'd rather die than lose, than go out not trying to die against Sean McVay.
I found a photo of the last time that they played a real meaningful game, because again, they played a game where no one scored a touchdown last year. Which was them in SoFi last year, and the Rams beat the Niners. It was a close game. I don't remember actually very much of it, but the box score indicates it was a close game. And McVay like rubbed Kyle's head. I posted on Twitter. I'm like, that was the second Kyle started scheming. Like, there is something there. And
yeah, I wonder what it's like when they hang out, because I saw them laughing together. There's like such a tension anytime it's him or LaFleur, and you're like, these guys love each other, and I don't think they like each other.
I think that there is a deep mutual respect. I'll tell you this, Kyle clearly respects McVay because he steals McVay's ideas a year later every year.
And look at how fired up he got over that field goal.
Yeah, and McVay still thinks that Kyle's the master. I don't know if there's a better coach in the NFL than McVay, and he had a really bad game. And Kyle, if he's not he's in the top tier. I mean, how about this? Kyle is clearly the front runner for coach of the year. I know Richard Sherman said it after the game. Like, it's not even within question. And that's incredible, because he's never won.
His window is closed because he got screwed over by like Harbaugh or something. It's a shitty award.
It's a bad award. The Kevin Stefanski Memorial Coach of the Year Award.
It's the who is the young coach with a team that hasn't been to the playoffs, or coached a team with a shitty QB to the playoffs award.
Okay, so when you phrase it like that, which is accurate, I would also like to remind everyone that Shane Steichen is doing what he's doing with Daniel Jones as a quarterback. It's the who did we not see this coming from award.
Correct.
NFC front runner. Kyle Shanahan, I'm already couching, you know. But also, you know, McVay's doing a good job. What about Mike McDonald if they win the division? Right. So maybe he's second. Oh, he's doing a hell of a coaching job. They replicated so much of the success that they had with Mac in that New Orleans game transferred into this game on a short week. I thought that they, you mentioned, you know, kind of the go for broke aggression. That was awesome. They had that double reverse flea flicker that could have been
that they've
sick.
Done before that they got a touchdown on last year. You remember that? Yeah,
that's right. That's right. It is both the best and the worst time to be a Niners fan. It is. They got something. They have something. And I think that if it all goes to hell from this point, you need to think back to this game and remember what they put on display and how important those kind of culture wins are.
Yeah.
For the long term. Like,
because there is an element of they had Kittle and Warner and all these other guys who sort of set the tone of like what the Niners are. And so from like 2019 to 2023, you didn't really have to establish it, but then you start losing pieces and you bring in young guys. In the last 2 years, it's like bringing in a new core and you're like, oh, we have to like remind guys like what the hell we're about. And these are games where you do that.
It's already so much better than last year. I mean, I've been making the joke to Jake all week that it's so reminiscent to 2024, except for the whole they win games thing. Like, it's bizarro 2024,
yeah,
which is the best kind.
Also,
which might
Robert
make them
Sala,
the 22 Vikings.
Robert Sala, pretty good at his job.
I'm starting to wonder if Nick Sorensen was any good at his. just a thought. Okay, I'm gonna shut the hell up and we're gonna bang through some questions here. If Kyle can have this much success with Jimmy in the short game, why did he transition that slow developing drop back passing game at all? Jake?
I think it's sort of the, I can do this, like, and he's sort of in some ways gets to be an idealist with Brock and like ideal offenses and setting things up and playing the whole chess match. Whereas it's sort of like when you have limited options, you make the most out of your limited options. Whereas sometimes when you have all the things, you're like, let me use all the things to the most ability. And it's, you actually don't maximize everything because you're trying to do a little bit too much.
The fallacy of choice.
Yep.
You're happier when you do less. Simplicity is the root of all happiness, all that stuff.
Okay, buddy.
I'm just saying, like, there is something.
All right,
Thoreau. There is something to this as I look at my pond. There's something to.
Sorry.
Yeah, Walden Pond's not good, but that's neither here nor there. Poetry Corner's on Wednesdays. Right.
Yeah, I love trees. Okay, sorry. Go on.
Yeah, get it. Oh, solitude. You live like 3 minutes from town, buddy. New Hampshire, am I right? So where else are you getting this kind of analysis, folks? Regardless. Yeah. I don't even remember where I was at. What were we talking about?
I don't know. Okay, I think we should shut this down.
No, we should not shut this down. We're not even close. Can we abandon the Colby Wally Pipping Barch narrative now? I mean, it's Barch. He may never be healthy, but if he were, he'd be playing. That's damn clear.
Yeah, Colby had one magnificent game, and then you went, ooh, okay, yikes. Maybe my initial evaluation of him wasn't that far off.
Why aren't people up in arms for the sideline broadcast as a default? It'd be so easy to have the sky cam, see the quarterback play. People don't like change, I think, in general. I think that, especially with, you see this especially like ESPN, like ESPN2 games, it's a lot of zoom in on the ball. Like Jake watches some low-level college football.
I've been watching a lot of FCS where not only is there no score ticker, there's zoom in and you go, they just threw the ball to 35 yards and I couldn't see.
Yeah. People like to see where the ball is because that's the logical thing. But football, as I think it was the great Pat Kerwin's book, is to take your eye off the ball is to truly understand it. So,
wow, that's beautiful.
By the way, read that book.
Hutch definitely likes trees. I do. I really do. I love Mendocino so much.
Yeah.
And I love that coast.
Hutch used to work for Aspiration, a company that plants trees in California.
Very legitimate organization. Don't believe any of the stuff you're hearing, or if you're not hearing, great.
We don't believe in the clickbait Clickbait media.
As an aside, I love that Adam Silver is just going, I don't see it. It's
why, if you did perform any services in a promotional venue, what services did you do? Oh, I perform services. I don't know. Wouldn't you have evidence of that?
Name one. He goes, I just play basketball.
You know, we all know that was the best part. They did media day on Monday, and there like five actual journalists were able to get in questions, and they went to like clutch points. And apparently, Clippers media was taking away microphones from real journalists. Yeah. But they asked didn't Lawrence post
any of their clips from the press conferences.
They asked Lawrence Frank, noted stealer of ideas from Dieter Kurtenbach and Clippers or president now, like, did you break any rules? And his response is, we all know the rules. It's like, well, did you break them? It's like, we all know the rules. And it's like, that's not a no.
It's like, did you break the law? It's like, the law is so important.
The law is so
important. We know, but like, did you break the law? It's like, you know, the law is such an interesting thing to follow.
Speaking of the law, what the hell was that penalty on Mikal?
I have no idea. Because he was demolishing tight end so hard getting up under his pads that they're like, that must be a penalty.
That's exactly it. Man,
like, you can't do that.
Wouldn't it be sick in the next like 10 days if Mikal Williams came out and he's like, oh yeah, I learned how to pass rush.
I would love it.
I would work on that if I were him.
He's got some time to work. I'd love if he added one move to his arsenal. Just one.
He could probably do the already old Reggie so White sick
pump. And he doesn't have anything in his bag. It's awesome.
He's just a freak.
Yeah, he's just so sick. We paid Deanna Cash. Awesome smash cut to Adrian Gonzalez when Mac went down, where it was Johnny Holland who came up to him. He's like, all right, time to go. And he went, what? Said what? And then Mac came, jogged off to the sidelines, and Adrian Martinez. Al Michaels did do a good thing where he's like, a sigh of relief for Adrian Martinez, I assume.
I'm sure Adrian, I've never talked to Adrian Martinez. I've never seen Adrian Martinez.
I'd like to see him play just to see what it looks like.
I mean, I saw him play at Nebraska. He was a good player at Nebraska.
Oh, I have seen him play. You're right.
Yeah. He was at Nebraska for roughly 12 years.
Yeah.
Pre-NIL too. He just loves Lincoln, Nebraska so much. Actually,
just the love of the game.
Yeah, then he was the UFL MVP. I actually know people who watch the UFL, and they say he was sick. So I'll take their word for it. But I'm not sure Thursday Night Football tight game, Matt Stafford just giving you the business, is the environment to find out if this kid's got it or not. Just a thought.
It just started pouring.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Better pull some stuff in. We all better go to bed. We'll talk next week. We're not talking tomorrow. We'll talk next week.
I got to close a window that I left open.
Okay.
We'll talk next week we'll talk next week.
We'll talk at some point. Bye.
Bye.